Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. Beth Harrington is an award-winning independent producer, director, and writer born in Boston and transplanted into the Pacific Northwest. She's been making media professionally since 1977. She most often focuses on work that explores American history, music, and culture. Her most recent film work is The Winding Stream, The Carters, The Cashes, and The Course of Country Music. A music history and performance documentary, the film features members of the Carter and Cash families and includes an interview with the legendary Johnny Cash. It had its world premiere at SXSW and made Rolling Stone magazine's Best of Fest music film list. It then went on to screen at the Cleveland International Film Festival, winning their Best Music Movie Award. This weekend, it's one of the featured films at the Bercher International Film Festival. The first run is this Saturday, May 31st at 9:15 a.m. at the Beacon Theater in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The second is Sunday, June 1st at 11:30 a.m. at the Triplex in Great Barrington. Welcome, Beth Harrington. Great to talk to you.
You too. Thanks a lot, Alan.
Okay. So, of course, you have hit on the reason I wanted to do this interview, of course, is I love Johnny Cash, of course, and loved the Carters and what they've been able to do. Mm-hmm. Why are they so important?
You know, I just think they're a foundational group, and so much so that their role is almost obscured. They're so much a part of the fabric of American music that most people don't think they even know who they are, but they're embedded in all these other songs. You know, the Carters were great song collectors and arrangers of music that already existed, plus they wrote their own stuff. So they tapped into all kinds of genres and made that a part of the American music canon. So songs like Will the Circle Be Unbroken and Keep on the Sunny Side and those kinds of songs we all kind of know, even if we don't know that they're songs popularized by the Carter family.
It's such an interesting film because so much of what constitutes history, which is one of your specialties, is almost accidental. They showed up late for their one shot, and the guy let them play anyway, and the rest becomes history. Who was the guy who was collecting?
The guy who recorded their first popular recordings was a guy named Ralph Peer, and he was a music exec from New York for a company that was then called Victor Talking Machine, which I think most of us later know as RCA Victor. That man, Ralph Peer, was interested in mining what was then obscure music for new audiences. He would go to the South, and he was known for collecting blues before this, and then he started collecting what was then called old-timey music, which later evolved into country music. And he had a real ear and a real vision for what he wanted to do, and he did this kind of cattle call audition in a town called Bristol, which is on the border of Tennessee and Virginia, and he recorded a bunch of acts. And the same week he recorded the Carters, he also recorded Jimmy Rogers. So he recorded two of the most seminal acts in country music history, in American music history. And a lot of historians now call it the Big Bang of country music, because that's when a lot of people consider country music as we know it to be born.
And you got Johnny on film right towards the end. It's obvious he was failing. What was that like?
Well, it was an amazing honor, and he was even though he was indeed failing. He had just come back from the hospital that morning.
I should say we were talking about Johnny Cash here for those people who don't know.
Okay, yeah. And we were afraid. We'd heard he was in the hospital. He flew to Nashville to interview him, to Hendersonville, where his home was at the time. And you know, we got there thinking, well, you know, he's not doing that well anyway. He may not be up for this. And sure enough, when we got there, he was in the hospital. But the family told us to sit tight and wait for a few days. And sure enough, he got better and he came out of the hospital. And he said he wanted to see us, which if I were just in the hospital, I wouldn't have wanted to do that. But the cool thing about it was that he really wanted to talk about the two women who were most influential in his life. And one of them was his wife, June Carter. And the other was his mother-in-law, Maybelle, whom he revered and really wanted to make sure that he got on record one last time. And it did turn out to be the last time I think he talked about Maybelle.
He wrote a song about her, which I love.
On October 23rd, 1978, I lost a loved one, and I confess I cry. In the joyous celebration of the lady and her music, there were tears in the Holston River when Maybelle Carter died. Then walking down that river road, I saw crystal tear-shaped droplets, silver beads of love sparkling on the river's tide. And I'll just bet they turned to diamonds for the love that was behind them. There were tears in the Holston River when Mother Maybelle died.
It's a beautiful song, and was it her sister Sarah?
Sarah was actually her cousin.
Her cousin, yeah.
And then became her sister-in-law because AP's brother, who was the other member of the original Carter family, AP married Sarah, and AP's brother married Maybelle. So they were kind of cousins and sisters-in-law.
And
so.
AP himself, the grand old man, the guy who started it really all, was not much of a performer himself.
No, he was really like a guy with an idea, you know, with a great notion of what he wanted to do. But he wasn't much of a musician, and he wasn't much of a singer. Although his contributions are incredible, he liked to do what he called bassing in. He'd like to every once in a while step up to the microphone and sing a bass part while the women did sort of the heavy lifting of the playing and the singing, and then he'd step back, you know, and sometimes he'd wander off. There are funny stories about him just kind of wandering away from the recording sessions.
And you have a great story in the film about how he wandered away from that first one to go find a tire so that they could get back where they came from.
Right, which of course made sense on some level,
sure.
But for a guy who was so driven about music, it's kind of quirky and wonderful at the same time.
Yeah.
But he clearly loved music, and he was a great arranger. And a lot of what he contributed to the Carter family sound is really about how he collected songs and put scraps of songs together and made better songs out of them that became the popular songs we know of the Carter catalog.
So, Beth Harrington, was there anything that you learned about the Carters that you didn't like?
No, you know, I think that's a really great question. I don't think so. I mean, I guess people could quibble. This didn't bother me because I think we tend to look at things with modern eyes and look at history and think people should have acted the way we would act now. But I think some people would say, oh, the Carters collected songs. Isn't that ripping off other artists? And, you know, there's that whole controversy about who owns a song and what intellectual property consists of. And now with our very litigious copyright-heavy culture, you can look at what the Carters did and say, that's kind of weird.
Well, you know, Pete Seeger always believed that we should send back the money that comes from copyright to the original country of origin. It must be very gratifying to have this kind of property on your hands. It's like having a baby. Do you get any postpartum after you've finished a project like this?
Well, I haven't yet, and partly that's because the baby was gestating for so long. This film took over a decade to make.
Wow.
That I am really glad the baby's out there now.
Yeah.
So I'm not suffering any postpartum yet. You know, probably in a few more months I'll start to feel it. But the Carters have been a part of my life now big part of my life for over 10 years. And I'm really happy that it's out there and seeing the light of day. And frankly, I'm happy it's being well received because after 10 years, you completely lose sight of these things, and I have no perspective on it. So I'm really delighted that it's doing as well as it's doing, and people are enjoying it as much as they're enjoying it. So that's all good.
It's been wonderful to talk with you, Beth Harrington. We've been speaking with award-winning independent producer, director, and writer Beth Harrington. Her most recent film work is The Winding Stream, The Carters, The Cashes, and The Course of Country Music. It's one of the featured films at this Bircher International Film Festival that's going on this weekend. The first run is this Saturday, May 31st at 9:15 a.m. at the Beacon Theater in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and the second is Sunday, June 1st at 11:30 a.m. at the Triplex in Great Barrington. You'll see me there, Beth. Let's make sure we say hello.
And I would love that, Alan. Thanks very much.
Great to have you. Thanks again.
My waking dream, the splendor.
amazing.